Welcome and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in program 47. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program to receive one.
We're going to be doing part four of Another Pearl Harbor. But right now, before we get going, I want the Holy Spirit to anoint me outwardly that I'll be able to have the proper commentaries as we read along here for the soul, you souls out in the world and in the church, to be edified. And Father, we ask that your Spirit opens up their spiritual mind and their ears so that they can hear and understand. And Lord, open up their ability to see spiritually, that the souls will be saved in the world. And Father, we ask that you anoint and let everything that's said on this tape be directly from the throne of God in heaven right now, this moment, and let it be very active in the world and in the church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so this is the fourth part of Another Pearl Harbor. Go right ahead.
After I had been greatly lied about in the courtroom and imprisoned on false charges of tax evasion, I met several of the Branch Davidians in prison. They told me that every time they tried to surrender for something they hadn't done, something that the government fabricated about them, the soldiers would keep shooting at them. According to the Branch Davidians, David Koresh was shot three different times when he attempted to come out of the building without firearms and while he was waving a white flag. I believed them because at the very same time the government was doing these things to the Branch Davidians, the government and the media were saying that I and the rest of our church had guns. The Branch Davidians were selling guns, but we have never owned a gun or possessed any carnal weapon. We don't even have a water gun on our property.
We don't even allow people to have a jackknife or a little toy water pistol. We don't allow any of that things because they would say, we thought it was real, so we killed your children. That's how wicked they are. Remember, they killed all the children there at the Branch Davidian. And they said that they committed suicide. They no more committed suicide. Those people were Seventh-day Adventists. They were a branch of the Seventh-day Adventists, and they did not believe in suicide at all. I've got a tape that shows a tank shooting flamethrowers. They threw this flammable gas into the place, and then they poked a hole through the wall and shot flamethrowers in there to ignite the flammable gas that they put in there, and that's what caused the fire. And they all fled from the house down into a tunnel that they had there. Then they started throwing gas bombs and everything in there. The tape also shows that there are three or four, I haven't seen it for a long time, of the different supposed to be American soldiers that got up on the roof. Three of the soldiers got into the room, and then the fourth soldier took his machine gun and sprayed the room and killed the three fellow Americans, supposed to be American soldiers in there, and they blamed the Branch Davidians for killing them. And as you can see it right on tape. And then one of the people that they shot in there fired out at that guy, and it went through the wall and hit him on the helmet, knocked him out momentarily. Then it shows him passing out there for a few seconds, and he got up and then slid down the ladder and escaped while the rest of them were dead in that room that they crawled through on the second floor. This is a sick bunch of people, these Vaticanites, and especially when you give them a badge, a flashlight, a club, and a whistle, you know, they really become megalomaniacs, this bunch of devils. Okay, then what?
Did Lee Harvey Oswald really kill President Kennedy? The answer is no. But at the time, the propagandists made everyone think so. Was Bobby Kennedy really shot by Sirhan Sirhan? I'm told that people who were present at the assassination said no. Ted Chirac, a friend of mine from my old entertainment days in Hollywood, was closely related to President Kennedy and his brother Bobby. Ted was the one at the time who had asked me to do the promotion for the Democratic Party. Ted has spent 35 years researching and analyzing the death of President Kennedy's brother, Bobby. He told me while we were on the phone March 11, 2003, that he has hundreds of documents to prove that Sirhan Sirhan attempted to kill Bobby Kennedy, but that not one bullet from Sirhan Sirhan's gun entered Bobby Kennedy. Mr. Chirac told me that Bobby Kennedy was killed by his bodyguards, who were standing behind Mr. Kennedy, and he said he can prove it. Mr. Chirac also disclosed that two Los Angeles police officers, acting under department orders, burned 2,410 assassination photographs in a hospital incinerator before the trial. After the trial, the LAPD destroyed ceiling panels and door frames from the Ambassador Hotel pantry. These panels and frames proved that the bullets of Sirhan Sirhan were not found in Bobby Kennedy. Years later, Mr. Chirac recorded an album with many of the details regarding Bobby Kennedy's death. He also was very much involved in a motion picture entitled The Second Gun, Who Really Killed Bobby Kennedy, which received a Golden Globe nomination. He, with a journalist friend, has also written a book regarding this assassination, which is soon to be published. The book is entitled The RFK Assassination, Termination 2. Motion picture and book availability is footnoted. Mr. Chirac told me that both the movie and the book were loaded with hundreds of witnesses and facts. In 1969 or 1970, a group of men from Kennedy headquarters met me and my late wife Susan for dinner in a Newhall, California restaurant. Their purpose was to have me join them in a promotion which would expose these things about Bobby Kennedy's assassination. Susie told me to decline their offer. The reason I'm exposing these things now is to show that this and hundreds of other important newsworthy events have been covered up by the news media. Now, I never was that well acquainted with the Democratic Party, even though they asked me to head a campaign for them.
They wanted me to head the campaign for the entire Democratic Party. Ted Chirac says they wanted you to be the Democratic Party's promotion man to whoever they wanted to promote. They wanted me to do the promotion for them. And Mariotti said the same thing, Ted Chirac and Walter Winchell, and a man named Bob Empson, who ran a restaurant on the Sunset Strip called the Steak and Stein. They all came together, and the Kennedys asked me to come downtown for a meeting with some of their people. And I went there, and three of them were just really badgering me to do the promotion for the Democratic Party. And I declined because I didn't know anything about politics at that time. I've gone through finishing school, though, for the past 41 years, and I know this was before I was saved, when they were asking me all this. And then later on, after I was married to Sue and saved, then they came back to me again and asked me to do the promotion because they know that we distribute these leaflets by the hundreds of millions, and so they thought that we'd be the perfect people, that I'd be the perfect person to get the truth of this out on people's vehicles and on the streets. And I said, well, I can't do it because my wife doesn't want me to, but if you guys are going to do it, I would suggest that you do it real fast, because if they think you're going to do this and you don't act fast, they'll kill you because they're known for it. All right, go ahead.
I only follow politics from afar to see how scripturally close we are to the end of time. I wouldn't be a very good servant of the Lord if I didn't keep you abreast of how close it is to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Creator and Savior of all those who come to Him for repentance and salvation. I also wanted to show you how the news media covers up things and can overwhelm the entire world with their lies and propaganda. Did the destruction of both the federal building in Oklahoma City and the World Trade Center in New York really happen without some of our government officials being greatly involved? The answer is no. Hundreds of witnesses say that government agents were not only involved, they placed several other bombs in the buildings as well. These witnesses say that it would have been impossible for the federal building in Oklahoma City and the World Trade Center buildings to collapse as they did without there being many other bombs in the buildings. But why would the infiltrators in our federal government want the federal building in Oklahoma City blown up? I'm told that many eyewitnesses have reported to the Freedom Network News and the Strategic Investment Newsletter that it was because evidence pertaining to both Waco, Texas, and Mena, Arkansas had been stored there. If this is true, then it is clear that some of Rome's Vatican saboteurs in our government didn't want even one shred of the evidence that pointed to them to be known, even if it meant blowing those 169 men, women, and children to pieces.
But the truth came out with John Peeler's letter to me and his expose on the federal government. But the real reason of it now we find out after these 2 years is that they wanted to start a war. They wanted another Pearl Harbor. They said, we need another Pearl Harbor in order to get the troops in the United States to go over and start ruling other countries for the Pope. Because the American people will not fight unless they get really ticked off. And that was what happened over in Pearl Harbor when they bombed that place. Here was just a bunch of guys just playing cards and laying around, doing nothing, and they don't want to fight anybody. But when that happened, everybody wanted to go to war, and they knew that that would happen, and that's why FDR did not want to let them know that it was going to be bombed, because he was in on it. You don't think the White House is in on this stuff? You're out of your mind. There's no way that if we had proper security and everything, and they want you to lose confidence in the government. They really don't, you know, these presidents, they don't care. They're paid very well to take all the heat from the American public, and they're paid very well for the position that they're given, and they're promised immunity. Whenever they go anyplace, you can see jet fighters all over the sky just protecting them, and they've got like many different bodyguards around them. They're completely protected. So this is what they want. They thought that the Oklahoma federal building would cause people to want to go to war, but that didn't do it. So they tried once before to get this World Trade Center blown down. Then finally they had a bunch of demolition men that were federal government agents in there, and they set these blasting caps off on many different floors so that when those planes would hit, they had it timed exactly, because these were not airplanes, according to videotapes that I have, that these are rockets, and they were set there by, remote control. Yeah, they were sent there by remote control exact time. That's the exact time that all the blasting caps, they had somebody in the neighborhood that had the pump and pushed down or pressed the lever, whatever, or pushed the button, and all of the blasting caps went off and the building pancaked down. Now, anybody that's seen the Dunes Hotel blown up or one of the other hotels in Vegas can testify that the World Trade Center went down the same way those hotels do. But they drew the attention away from that there were blasting caps there on many floors. So they had these rockets, not airplanes, because the videotapes that we have show that these rockets didn't have any windows in them. And so they had to have been sent there by remote control. So that definitely ticked a bunch of people off, and everybody had their head turned while it could happen. They saw federal FBI people coming out of there before that happened. It just so happened that all the FBI people were out of that building in plenty of time to get out of the building and down the block, or wherever they were going. All right, let's continue on, please.
I'm told by many sources that many eyewitnesses told these things to the FBI. These witnesses stated that the FBI said they would kill them if they ever told anyone else the things that they had told them.
Well, I even heard that on the air when I was in the hole. I had a little radio in Fort Worth where I was there going for a parole hearing. And I heard these people on the radio saying, we went to the FBI, and they were saying that you better keep your mouth shut about this because this is business that is confidential. You better keep your mouth shut. And so they got infuriated, and they told it on the radio station. And I heard it. There's too much of this going on for you people to claim that you're ignorant when you stand before the judgment bar of God. And you people that are in the government, and that you're people that were involved in this thing, and that you know what's going on, you better come forward and tell it. You better repent of all your sins, because God sees everything that you've done and everything that you're doing, so don't do it anymore. And I'm saying this to President Bush and all the people in the Vatican. Get your soul saved. You're not going to think that what you're doing was worth it when you stand before the judgment bar of God. You're going to be so sorry if you don't repent now and ask the Lord to come into you. Be better that you get a little farm someplace or something and milk cows or whatever. Get some chicken eggs, you know, some chickens, and And just, you know, what good is all the money anyway? It's just in the bank and you can't spend it, because then people would know that you were a thief, you know, that you definitely, there's something wrong with you. So just, you know, come on, settle down and get saved, and don't go to church for a photo opportunity. Go to church to worship the Lord. Amen? That's what you're supposed to be doing. And don't tell a bunch of unsaved people to pray to God, because God doesn't hear the prayers of unsaved people. You must be born again of the Spirit and of water, and then you must have the Spirit of God move into your body and get your so that you have the power to keep the commandments of the Lord, and so that you have the power to withstand, to don't care whether somebody's going to kill you because you're telling the truth. Because I know the minute that the breath goes out of my body, I'm going to be in heaven, and whoever does that to me, you made my day. You made my day, because that's where I want to be anyway. But you, my friend, if you don't repent, you're going to be in hell. You're going to look up and see how I'm kicked back and just enjoying myself up there while you're screaming your fool head off and gnashing on your teeth and chewing on your tongue for the pain and writhing in pain and knowing that it's never going to end forever and ever and ever. Okay, continue on, please.
These grieving, pitiful people apparently believed that they would find some sympathy and some retaliation against those who killed their wives, their children, and their husbands. What a rude, crude, and sad awakening for the families of the victims to realize that their fellow government co-workers are saboteurs who are not at all concerned about the members of their families and are not at all concerned about law or America. How sad to realize that they would go to such an extent to cover up the crimes of the Waco massacre and the proof of the illegal drug trafficking which involved high government officials in Mena, Arkansas. President Clinton, a Roman Catholic who poses as a Baptist, was one of them. Two videotapes, an expose on President Clinton when he was the governor of the state of Arkansas, were taped and narrated by some of his closest cabinet members, namely Larry Nichols, the former director of marketing for the Arkansas Finance Development Authority, Judge Jim Johnson, former Arkansas State Senator and former member of the Arkansas State Supreme Court, Jerry Parks, Bill Clinton's campaign headquarters security chief, Bill Dannenayer, a United States congressman, Bill Duncan, the IRS Treasury agent in charge of the MENA investigation, Russell Welsh, the Arkansas State Police investigator in charge of the MENA investigation, Doc DeLauder, another Arkansas State Police investigator, Charles Black, the Polk County Deputy Prosecuting Attorney, and State Troopers Larry Patterson and L.D. Brown. The videotape's availability is footnoted. These tapes state, among many other things...
Well, it's footnoted in the piece of literature, but can you read that on the air?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. It's Bill Clinton's Circle of Power, and then Bill Clinton's Rise to Power...
These are videotapes?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
The Clinton Chronicles and the New Clinton Chronicles. They can be ordered from Citizens for Honest Government at P.O. Box 220, Winchester, California, 92596-0220, or call 1-800-828-2290. These tapes state, among many other things, that Clinton had a great part in the smuggling of $100 million worth of cocaine a month and transportation of weapons out of Mena, Arkansas to Nicaraguan Contras. There are billions of deceived people in the world, and they are dangerous because they've been brain damaged by the devil's world system. If you're a member of Christ's body, then surely you must know that the only way we have superiority over them is in Christ and His Word. We are not allowed to fight them carnally. Besides, what good would that do?
And we need to pray for them that they get saved. Amen?
Amen.
Because no matter what they've done, the Lord will forgive them and drown all their sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness and never remember them against them any longer if they go and sin no more and they start doing the will of the Lord and start confessing these things and bring it to an open to everybody to show what hour we're living in. Okay, and then what?
They are far more than the hairs on all of our heads. There's only one way to fight them, and that is to call on God. God is stronger and more powerful than everything in the universe.
Or we can witness to them, too, and they see that they get saved. Maybe they will get saved. That's why I'm bringing these messages, so that If they are so blind that they can't tell what they've done and how evil it is, then I have been commissioned to tell them, and I pray that they'll receive it. Okay, then go ahead.
God is stronger and more powerful than everything in the universe, including all the people on the face of this earth. It may seem to many that we're a minority, but with God, we're more than all the people in the world.
They say, you know, if God be with us, who could be against us? The whole world cannot be against us, because we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
God shows us clearly how to fight. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things.
He says, I will hear you and answer you, you know. And that's why the psalmist David says, I love the Lord because he hears me. And he'll hear you, too, if you call to him for salvation. And you'll be very, very happy that you did. It's the best and only real good move that you could ever make in your life. Excellent move. And then what?
That was Jeremiah 33, verse 3. The solution. If you want something done about the evils that are happening all over the world, if it's your desire to see the eyes of the people in the world opened, so the light of God can shine into their darkness, you need to preach the word to them.
And you need to learn the word first before you start preaching. You need to get saved even before you start preaching. Because 99% of these preachers today are not saved. And they are preaching false doctrine. They're not of the Lord. And they're the great falling away. And what else?
And you also need to pray to God to avenge us of our enemies.
I pray that they'll get saved too. Because if they get saved, then they'll be not our enemies, but they'll be our allies. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Those who get saved will no longer be our enemies, but our brothers and sisters. So let's cry out to God in the name of Jesus and in the blood of Jesus to destroy all the evil in the world. Let's pray that all the evil people of the world will be saved, or that God will take vengeance upon them for not repenting. All those of us who are now...
Yeah, we can see God doing that now with these tsunamis and these hurricanes and earthquakes and the different diseases that people are catching. These all, God says, are coming from Him. Read the book of Revelations, the Revelation of John, and you'll see that these things were predicted. Read the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Read the book of Genesis, where the Lord destroyed the whole world, and also Sodom. And God does these things, and He sent hornets to drive the giants out of the Holy Land. And there's hundreds of accounts of the Lord cursing people, and thousands of accounts also of the Lord blessing people for doing what He commands them to do. Okay, then what?
All those of us who are now saved were at one time evil ourselves.
Amen. Well, listen, I see that our time is up. And, you know, I just want to get this entire, another Pearl Harbor to you folks so that you can really get your head screwed on right. Amen? You get yourself, your soul, your spirit, your mind all set for the judgment, or for the Lord to say, come in, my good and faithful servant. Well done. You're not going to want to stand before the Lord if you're not born again of the Spirit. Say the sinner's prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that You, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Father God, Holy Spirit, wash all my former filthy sins in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. Father God, Holy Spirit, You will save my soul, I know, because Your word says so. Your word says that You'll turn no one away. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that You have heard me, and I know that You have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord, and share and tell everybody how to receive a copy of
Program 47.
Go to alamoministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California 90078, or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
Our time is up. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. Don't fail to tune in tomorrow because we're going to be doing part 5 of Another Pearl Harbor. Till then, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.
This song here shows you how happy it will be when you get to heaven. It is called Angel Band.
You know, there's nothing better than to know that you're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. My lady son is sinking fast. My race is nearly run. My strongest trials now are past. My triumph has begun. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your snow-white wings to my eternal home. Oh, bear me away on your snow-white wings to my eternal home. Yes, it's true. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know I'm nearing my heavenly home. My spirit loudly sings. The holy ones, behold, they come. I hear the sound.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.